Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Okay, let's make some magic. 3, 2, 1. Hey, I'm Elton Jim, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, heard exclusively on WGNplus.com, posted every Monday for your listening pleasure. Episode 20. They said we'd never make it to 19. Ha! I don't know about 25, but we're here at 20. That's all I know. I'm here for another hour. I don't know what's going to happen next week, so we'll see what happens. But anyway, thanks for clicking on, tuning in, whatever it is you do with your podcasting. I have a landing page, apparently, on WGNplus.com. So you just go on to the WGNplus.com website, go to entertainment, and you'll see Elton Jim's pod, Captain Podtastic, and you can listen to all of the previous 19 podcasts, as well as, obviously, this current one, number 20. So here we are in October, and I've already seen a lot of this around, but now I guess it's probably getting to be crunch time. The Halloween mode, I guess, is something that's been very interesting to have observed if you're a little older. I know that if you're probably in your 20s or 30s, you go, well, what are you talking about? Everybody always dresses up. Everybody always decorates their house. No, they didn't. Halloween, I would say about 20-some years ago is when I started to really notice that people were, doing their house with all the big, you know, the cobwebs and the ghosts in the trees. And now, my goodness, you go down some streets. I mean, that was always relegated to Christmas. Christmas decorations. And the streets, in fact, there were several. I know where I lived in the Northwest Side, there was a street when I was a very little kid in the early 70s that was called Candy Cane Lane. And all the houses agreed to decorate, and it was several blocks long. I think I was a little kid, so you know, you jump in a car and your parents drive you somewhere. I think it was like somewhere around like Belmont or Addison and near Harlem Avenue, somewhere in that area. And it was, I remember for a good part of my early childhood as a little kid, we'd go to Candy Cane Lane. And believe me, I mean, once again, this is the 70s. So you basically, there was about five outside decorations in the 70s that every store sold. There were the Tin Soldier, the Santa, the Candy Cane, and then maybe, if you're lucky, a reindeer, probably Frosty, a snowman, yeah. And then if you were lucky, a reindeer. But you had to make your own red nose for Rudolph. There was no, like, Rudolph. You had to just find some way to put a red nose and have it light up if your dad was cool with electricity. You had a Rudolph. But that was about it. It was and the candy canes lined the sidewalk to your house, and then of course you had your whatever lights you would have flickering. But in terms, and then of course there was the, which I always get a kick out of, I love the illuminated nativity. That's always fun, and it's, I always find it interesting. In fact, I never noticed this until my parents passed away and I got their nativity scene. And so I was looking in the box, and I noticed that in my mom, it was a nice nativity scene. And I remember, you know, my mom used to be very elaborate, you know, put it on this double-layered table so it looked like it was climbing up a hill and the whole spiel, you know, and the, you know, the cows and everything. But I noticed that the Mary had blonde hair. And I'm like, wait a minute. Mary was from the Middle East. She was not born in Iowa. She was born somewhere in the Middle East. Not a lot of blondes.
I never thought of that.
Right.
Until you just said
Mary
that.
Mary cannot have blonde hair.
Our Mary in our nativity scene definitely had blonde hair.
She can't have blonde hair. There was no peroxide in the Middle East at those days.
Also, I looked up Candy Cane Lane, Oak Park Avenue between Belmont and Addison.
See?
Nailed it.
Thank you very much. So it was on Oak Park Avenue?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
According to the interweb.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and that was a nice stretch. But So in fact, so when I got this nativity scene, I saw this Mary with this strawberry blonde hair, and you know, I I'm not overly religious, but I thought, well, you know, it might be as a nice little tribute because my mom always put this thing up. I'll put it up somewhere in the house, and so I do. And then, and I've said many times on the radio, I'm always, you know, I'm a stickler for facts and detail. So, in my nativity scene, say I put it up. You know, I usually put up the stuff, say, you know, a couple of days after Thanksgiving. There's no baby Jesus in my stable until Christmas Eve because he's not born. You can't put a Jesus in the stable on December 15th or whenever you put up your stuff. How often do you see that? You see, you know, they're all staring at the baby Jesus and you go, no, no, no. He's not born yet. He's born the 25th of December. So my Jesus is hid away. So there's just Mary and Joseph in the stable. And I got news for you. My wise men are not there. My wise men start
it. Oh, my God.
My wise men.
You're taking this to a whole nother
my
level.
Wise men are in another room. And every day they move closer to the stable until Christmas Eve, when they see the star above the stable.
That's so much work.
And they hear the baby crying. So all I've got is maybe a shepherd boy, you know, around there, a couple of horses, which I think is, you know, and a goat. There's usually a goat or a lamb, you know. But no, no. It's a barren stable until Christmas Eve. Which actually then gives you something to do on Christmas Eve, because then you have to get your wise men huddled, and you have to have your baby Jesus. Now, there have been times, not last year, but I think 2 years ago, I forgot where I put Jesus, because I didn't.
You lost the baby Jesus?
The baby Jesus was lost, because I wanted to hide him away from everything, and I said, well, I don't want to have him out somewhere. And so now it's Christmas, you know, the day before Christmas Eve, and I'm like, ho, I've got, you know, Jesus has to be born. And now I'm looking for Jesus for like 2 hours. And of course, when you lose something, always, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I lost my favorite pair of glasses for a couple of hours and freaked out. When you lose something, but you plan on something, it was exactly where it should have been. It was like 5 feet away behind this other tree. So it was close, but in my mind, you know, which bin did I put it in, or where did I hide it behind something else, or did I put it in a piano bench and all that stuff? Then finally I look, I go, oh, it's right where it should be. But anyway, so that's, I mean, I'm sorry, but if you're going to do a nativity, and I know I'm supposed to be talking about Halloween, but hey, I got nothing to do but kill time here, folks. So if you're going to do a nativity, I'm sorry, but that's the way. If you're going to do it with a Jesus and a bunch of wise men on December 14th or December 10th or December 3rd, don't expect me to go, how nice that is.
So by going by your logic of wanting facts.
Right.
And relaying it to Halloween. So you can't put out Draculas for decoration, right?
Not during the day.
Not during the day.
Not during the day. Of course. Well, hello. Duh. Of course not.
Okay.
They're sleeping.
Noted.
Yes, of course. I mean, they're sleeping. They can't. Although, I have to say, I've been a little disappointed in the, I mean, I don't know where the daylight You know, no mirror image thing happened for the vampire. That was always the lore and the you know, Bela Lugosi and the Christopher Lee movies. You know, they couldn't see themselves in the mirror and they actually couldn't come out during the day and all that. But if you watch True Blood and a lot of these newer vampire stories, there's a little sunlight, but not to the point where they can't go out at all.
And what about the garlic and all that stuff?
Yeah, the garlic.
Incorporating that.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, now it's
Twilight movies.
Well, that, yeah, yeah, and like I said, they sort of, you know, the funny thing is that they took a myth, and then, in now, in current times, they took a myth, and then they debunked the myth, like the myth was dumb, even though the whole thing isn't true. So even though vampires don't exist, today's vampires are mad at the myths about them, even though they are a myth. Do you follow that?
I totally follow.
Yeah.
Follow you.
So I love that. That something that doesn't exist has an attitude about its history. So that I always love. But yeah. So no. These are things. Now once again, you know, Wolfman. If I remember, it was kind of like the moon. So I don't think Wolfman can either be out. Now, Frankenstein is just a zombie, basically. So I'm not into the whole zombie thing. Zombies can go out anytime they want, right?
Yeah, they can go out anytime.
Yeah, they have no curfews and they don't have to go out, you know, when the light is out, they're fine.
Right. They just need to be fed by blood.
Right. Or brains or the whole thing, yeah. Yeah, they have a lot of, yeah. You know, zombies are sort of like that irritating gluten-free person that you know. They've got so many of these food restrictions. It's got to be brains or it's got to be blood or I'm not eating it. Okay. So I'm not going to invite any zombies over. But anyway, so to get back to my original point, which I think was the the decoration, you know, as we all know, Christmas was the big decoration time. Now, I'm thinking about this now in this more diverse world, in our more open-minded society. So, you know, from a standpoint, this probably allows the Jewish people to decorate because they wouldn't be decorating for Christmas because they don't celebrate Christmas. And other religions, Muslim, all the other religions out there that may not recognize Christmas, so they never got to decorate their homes. And then, and obviously, Jewish people have the menorah, but it was never a big, elaborate thing. You didn't see Hanukkah Harry coming out of the chimney of a house, and you didn't see everything, you know, a bunch of dreidels hanging from the, you know, from window panes. So I guess that maybe, in a way, Halloween expanded too to give everybody a chance to decorate. But I also think there's something about this too, and the voice you're hearing I've told you even last week, Kristen Decker is now working on the show as a producer, so she's always free to jump in. So you tell me, because you're sort of in that wheelhouse age group, when you were growing up, as you were a little kid and a younger kid, mm-hmm. there were, you know, the Halloween movies, the Freddy Krueger movies,
Jason. The
Jason movies. Friday the 13th actually started in the 70s, but still. You know, and then there was Scream later on, all the Stephen King movies, Cujo and all that, The Shining. And so it seems to once again, the correlation is when the houses and Halloween became a much bigger deal in terms of just a celebratory thing. It used to be a kid's holiday. It was the day you went out. It was a one-day deal.
Yep.
You dressed up, you went out, and you came home, and that was it. And maybe at school, you dressed up in a costume.
Yeah, JCs would have a haunted house.
Yeah, exactly. You'd go
raise money.
Yeah. Now you know. Once again, people here in the Chicago area will all know of a certain age group, which I think they're still around. There was a landscaping company called Amlings, which I think Amlings may still be around. And once again, maybe I just have a North Side bias, but on North Avenue, near First Avenue, where the old Kittyland was, just a couple of, maybe a mile down from Kittyland, was Amling's, and Amling's had the haunted house. They had, and that, and this was far from a scary. It wasn't like these elaborate things now that you see all over the place, but Amling's haunted house. Anybody that lived in the Northwest Side, you went to Amling's. That's where you got your pumpkin. You got this cool little pin that said, I was at the haunted house. It had a little pumpkin on it. And you went to the Amling. Now, I'm sure in retrospect, I think it had to be a pretty hokey haunted house. But I was a little kid, so I was scared out of my pants. But, and like I said, now you go to some of these elaborate ones. I remember several years ago, we did a remote out in Villa, at the Odeum in Villa Park. And that is like that's a big, a giant kind of arena. And the whole place was, yeah, had cars that were destroyed. I mean, it was an amazingly elaborate thing. So the Amling's haunted house was probably 5 minutes to get through. And there was probably a couple of old guys with, you know, masks on and went boo. But it was scary. And that's
just reading the gorilla. The guy in the gorilla suit was the big scary.
Right. Yeah, there was this. Yeah, that's what I mean. The gorilla suit. I mean, what is that? How is that? How is that? No one would be afraid of a gorilla suit in 2016. But no, believe me, in 1974, you peed your pants. And so there were some, you know, small little traditional things. But even the pumpkin patch, all these pumpkin patch things, and the pig races and all that stuff was really not as popular as they are now. That, I think, is in the last, you know, 15, 20 years where all of a sudden people are driving out and picking their pumpkins out in the patch and they're spending the whole day. That really wasn't the tradition. And so I did notice about, say, 20 years ago, all of a sudden you're just driving down the street and you're seeing these houses with the cobwebs and the giant blow-up spiders and then some elaborate ones with all the gravestones on the grass and the monsters in the, you know, sitting on the front porch, and it was a whole thing. I'm like, wow, where is this coming from? And I'm thinking that those people were the ones who were growing up with those scary movies that were very popular in the 80s and into the 90s. And now they were into, I know some people that just love, I mean, Nick DiGiulio here at WGN is like a major, you know, horror. So there are some people that are way, way into, you know, horror and slasher movies. And those whole slasher movie things started, as I said, with Friday the 13th and Halloween and stuff like that. And it could even go before that to, you know, Night of the Living Dead, the George Romero film. But I was just looking at, like, well, the age group, like, where would somebody start to do that, to get so into Halloween? And I'm wondering if it's because that those movies were so popular in that time period when people were growing up, that as they got older, like, hey, I really like Halloween. I like these things. Wouldn't it be cool if we had a slasher, you know, a Jason outside on our lawn? And then pretty soon it started to, you know, just dovetail, and everybody in the neighborhood starts to do it, and that's how it starts. But I'm just wondering, because when you look at those, it's a lot of reference. When you see the people's lawns and front of their houses decorated, you do see a lot of references to Halloween, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
The classics.
Yeah. And so, and once again, I hate to sound like I'm 100 years old, but in my day, I mean, we basically, when I was a little kid, we had the classic Universal movies. There weren't a lot of real horror movies that were being made. So there was a thing on Channel 9, WGN, called Creature Feature. It was on every Saturday night. And on Creature Feature, they would show, you know, Lon Chaney Jr. in The Wolfman and Boris Karloff, you know, with Frankenstein, and Bela Lugosi with Dracula. And they would even sneak in Abbott and Costello Meet Dracula. And all those kind of those vintage 30s and 40s, The Mummy, The Invisible Man, that Universal Studios that all produced you know, in the 30s and 40s, and those were your stock monsters, and they weren't, and they were scary in a spooky kind of atmospheric way, but they weren't like ah. Whereas, you know, the the slasher movies were the ones. I mean, I could still close my eyes right now and see when the mother on Friday the 13th's head gets cut off. Oh. And there's just that little, like the little thing from her neck sticking out.
Yes.
I could still see that.
Wow.
I could close my eyes and still see that. So I'm just wondering, is that where the whole thing, because those, you know, people, that, you know, in their probably like mid to late 30s now or early 40s, grew up seeing those movies, and then they started to say, hey, this is cool, and then they passed on to their kids. And now, of course, I mean, my gosh, I think Halloween in some ways even surpasses Christmas in terms of how much people spend on decorating their homes, because now they're becoming very elaborate. And now that you're living in a on the Northwest Side, mm-hmm. which I'm glad that you wised up and moved into a cool neighborhood where I used to live. But I'm sure that you'll start to see more of the houses.
Well, I can't wait to see
decorations.
But, I'm not into decorating, so I would not fall into that group.
See, well, I love to decorate at Christmas, but Halloween, I always, you know, I mean, once again, I think Halloween is certainly made for now, especially. If this trend started 20 years ago, it is certainly now going to be embedded because, you know, once again, we are in a look-at-me society. We take pictures of ourselves doing the most mundane thing. So, my gosh, if we get dressed up into a costume, that's got to be 75 pictures. I mean, if you take a picture, if you take a picture of your French onion soup because it's got a really nice melt on the cheese, then could you imagine if you went to the costume store and spent $75 on a costume, how many pictures you're going to take? So I think, you know, Halloween now is made for this era of everybody carrying a camera around with them, whether it's a phone or not. And like I said, it's kind of a look at me kind of society now. So yeah, if it was just a trend, I think now it is a part of the American culture, because especially too, I mean, I remember too, being a little kid, you dressed up at Halloween, and most likely that's the only time you did dress up. Every so often you play, you know, some games. But now with all these Comic-Cons and this and that, and I mean, let's face it, people are going to the movie theaters dressed up.
Yeah.
There's no need for a holiday. There's just a need for a movie opening, whether it's Iron Man or Captain America or Star Wars, Star Trek. So people dress up more than they ever did. And I'm sure that there's a lot of costume places. And that, once again, I hate to keep harping on my old neighborhood, but there's a place called the Fantasy Shop in Milwaukee Avenue.
Well, also Chicago Costume.
And Chicago Costume now, yeah.
On Montrose.
Right. And that, but I remember that fantasy costume place, it's right across the street from the Portage Theater on Milwaukee, just past Six Corners.
Yep.
I mean, that place has been there as long as I can remember, and I don't know how that place ever stayed in business. It was one day. And now the funny thing is, I go in there every so often because there is, you know, every so often you do need some fake vomit. So where are you going to go?
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
No. I mean, every so often you need some fake vomit. You need, a rubber cigar. And this, where are you going to go? You know, you need a fake sheriff's badge. Where are you going to go?
Not Mr. Fun. That closed.
Oh, really?
Uncle Fun,
right, exactly. So those places, and now, like I said, with people dressing up for any occasion, whether they're going to a movie, so you got to buy a Yoda mask, or you got to buy, you know. So those places are probably doing a much better business than they used to. But as like I said, dressing up was kind of a one-time-of-the-year event. And it really was. I think the people that are into it. So, but I just remember it being a very special thing. Like, oh my gosh. And that's why I'm talking about this now, because here we are in the first week of October. And I remember, you know, like in late September, early October, okay, what are you going to be? I mean, that was like the big question. What are you going to be?
Do you dress up now at all for Halloween?
Well, it depends. I mean, if I'm invited to some parties. I mean, the cool thing a couple of years ago, as I mentioned, we did a remote from the WGN here at this big haunted house at the Odeum. And so the whole show, we got dressed up as the Munsters.
Oh, Oh, how fun.
Yeah, and they we had professional people. So Gary Meyer was Herman, and our producer at the time, who now is the associate the assistant program director here, Stephanie Menendez. She was Lily. I was Grandpa. One of our interns was Marilyn, and another intern I think was
Eddie Munson.
It was Eddie. And so it was really cool. It worked out. I mean, they had the airbrushing. Like I said, now everything is so professional. You don't have to be a professional to have something done. Everybody goes to a place, and like I said, they were airbrushing the makeup on. I mean, it was a whole art form. And like I said, when I was a little kid, I mean, and I mean, once again, I hate to sound like I'm 100 years old, but it was so crude. There was either two things: you made your own at home, and if you did, you basically looked around the house for something. And if anybody ever watches The Honeymooners, there's a great episode where Ralph Cramden looks around the house and gets a pot and a pan and the door to his refrigerator, because that's how you made your costumes then. You didn't go to a costume store. You sort of looked around the house, what am I going to be? And you found stuff around the house and you either made it or and I don't know if they still have these. I think they do. I don't have any kids, so I wouldn't know. But the coolest thing, these were the cheapest costumes on earth, but they were so cool the way they were displayed. And that's the way these stores know how to catch kids. So you went to Walgreens, or you went to, there's a store called Goldblatt's, or you went to Polk Brothers, or you went to Zayer. These are all these department stores of the era. Or Sears, you know. And there they would go to like their Halloween area. And even I think Toys R Us at the time, although Toys R Us used to be called Bargain Town. And there would be a wall, and these costumes came in a box, and they had the clear cellophane, and there was a mask that was made of plastic, which today you could never get away with selling to a kid, because it just had an elastic band around it, and it smashed against your face to the point where you hardly could breathe. I don't know. Once again, there were no safety rules. I think back, you know, 40, 50 years ago, I think they all thought there was way too many kids around, so if we lose a few, it's no big deal. Because, I mean, our toys had no safety valves at all. It was, you know, lead paint, sharp points, and suffocating masks. So if you lose a few kids who suffocated on Halloween, you know, you could always have three more. But these were the coolest things. So, and they were always and they had these body things. They were almost like pajamas. You stepped into them, and they had a tie on the back to keep you in. And then there, whatever the – so if it was Fred Flintstone, for instance, you know, you would step into this thing, and it was like pajamas, like a one-piece pajama thing, and you tied it in the back. And then it said the Flintstones on the front, and then you had the mask of, say, Fred or Barney or whatever it was, or, you know, Daffy Duck or Donald Duck. Or whatever was the cool cartoon of the time. But my gosh, it was a wall filled with these boxes with the mask in the cellophane, and you just looked at that wall, and you were just mesmerized. And it was like, oh, I want to be Scooby-Doo, or, you know, I want to be Adam Ant, or I want to be, you know, Fred Flintstone, or whatever it was. And the masks were very cool, but then those things you stepped into made no sense. But gosh, when you knew it was Halloween when you went to the store and you saw that wall and you did pick one. And a lot of times you bought one of those, and then when you brought it home, they were so cheaply made. The elastic thing that goes around your head would snap, and then you couldn't put it on. So then that costume was done. So then you went around the house and tried to find something. But now, I mean, my gosh, when these people go to these Comic-Cons, I mean, these people are dressed up in major costumes,
right,
that are professional costumes. And I think there was kind of something, you know, you're going to compare the costumes from then to now, you go, oh, come on. I mean, these are, you know, everybody's a star today. But there was something to be said to be, I mean, I remember when I was a little kid, I was in second grade, and there was a really horrible movie. It's a B movie. It was called The Man with Two Heads. Ray Milland was in it. It was actually kind of a, it wasn't a horror movie. It was kind of a weird sci-fi black, exploitation film in that, I think it was Rosie Grier, who was a football player who became an actor. But it was a whole thing about race relations because there was a bigoted scientist, Ray Milland, who wanted to do some kind of a operation, and it turned out that they gave him a black head next to his head. So you had white Ray Milland and black Rosie Grier, and they hated each other. And so it was this weird kind of, you know, civil rights kind of message about a white guy and a black guy inhabiting the same shoulders. Look it up. I think it's actually on, I'm sure you can find it on Netflix or on a DVD. It's called The Man with Two Heads, I think. But so I thought that was a cool idea. I didn't go for the white and the black head. But what I did do is I, once again, went around the house. So my mom had one of those styrofoam heads with what you put wigs on. So I put a mask on that head, the little styrofoam head. I put a mask on my face, and then we tied the other head to my shoulder around my armpit, and then I put had a shirt on, like a black shirt, and then we put a jacket, a coat, around it to keep the head in, and I was a two-headed man. I won more costume parties in second grade than I would ever win in my lifetime as the two-headed man. I still have pictures of that too. And I've done some cool ones too, of course. When I was like 1975, I was the pinball wizard, Elton John, of course. And then my wife and I were Fred and Barney, or Fred and Wilma one year, and she made those from scratch too, which were really good costumes. And one year I was the Joker when Batman came out. So yeah, I mean, I've dressed, but it's been a while since I've really, because now, my gosh, you have to spend $100. Do you get dressed up?
I do sometimes, but yeah, no, mine's all stuff I look around my apartment. Like
Oh, that's cool.
I had a polka dot dress. It was black and white polka dot. So I was like, oh, I got an idea. So I found white gloves, and then I made a headband. I had a headband, and I cut two circles of black construction paper, and I was Minnie Mouse. Like,
oh, there you go. So now, do you have any ideas for this year at all?
No, I'm terrible.
Because, I mean, you got to think, very quickly, you got to think in 2016, it's going to be Trump and Hillary.
I'm not going to do that.
No, I'm just saying, you're going to see people dressed up like Trump with the mask, dressed up like Hillary. I would imagine you see some David Bowie people.
Yeah.
You're going to see some Prince people.
Yeah.
I think you're going to probably, you'll see your usual zombies and stuff like that. I'm sure you're going to see a lot of Hamilton.
Oh,
with
right.
The powdered wigs, especially here in Chicago, because that's going to be opening. I Lady Gaga, because she's still very popular, could do a lot of fun stuff with that. Your Star Trek, your Star Wars, the Suicide Squad movie.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, with that Harley Quinn and all that. And then I'm sure that even though it wasn't a big hit, I'm sure the Ghostbusters thing with the female Ghostbusters.
Yep.
If you had three friends, there you go.
Yeah, but I don't want to buy a costume.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, you know. And I don't know what they would do, but I'm sure the whole Pokemon craze started up again this summer.
Really good ideas.
Yeah, so I think you're going to see. Yeah, I was trying to think, you know, you could wear a hoodie and either go as Mark Zuckerberg or that iRobot kid.
Okay.
The one I thought that might be cool, and this is because you're a millennial, right?
It's debatable. I'm on that very edge.
Okay. Well, let's just say you are for the purpose of our discussion here.
I don't like that.
There's no hard and fast rules.
Okay.
So I was thinking you could be Millennium Park. You could just wear a parking sign, like no parking, or a sign about parking, and you could be Millennium Park.
Ing.
Well, it's not completely.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't.
I'm not really. No, but nice try.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm trying to think. I went through something. I was trying to think of the big scandals of the year. I couldn't really think of any, you know, major scandals. of, you know, this year.
No, it's too hard. You can't go as Ryan Lochte. That's
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do with go three friends and go, you know, have a broken mirror or something? I mean, what are you going to do? And then most, sadly, a lot of the other scandals were all kind of serious stuff with all these police shootings. So it wasn't you don't want to do that. You don't just walk around with your hands up.
Right.
So, yeah, you got to think of some, like I said, I would bet you, and if you're Prince, if you wanted to do Prince or David Bowie, the good thing about them is they were so visual that you could be like David Bowie as Ziggy Stardust. You could be David Bowie as Aladdin Sane with the orange hair and the thing on the face. Or you could be the Thin White Duke with the vest and the hair slick back. So, and Prince had many different looks. You know, the raspberry beret look with the cool kind of sky coat on, or his, you know, purple rain look. Mm-hmm. Even later, he had that little symbol on his face. So you could actually, you know, have some fun with those guys too. But I just wanted to throw some ideas out there, because Halloween is a much different kind of holiday than it certainly used to be. And now I think it is actually becoming, as I said before, as popular as Christmas in terms of decorations. I'm wondering, does anybody even trick-or-treat anymore? I mean, I don't hear about the trick-or-treating. When I do, I hear my friends talking about how they go with their kids and they take a wagon with beer. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of scary. That you have to have a...
I think scary, I think genius.
Well, it's genius, but I mean, you know, okay, you can't be a parent for one night. You have to have beer with you. Just be a parent and take your kids to the house and be nice. Why do you have to have beer with you?
Why not?
Oh, see, but see, once again, that's why you are, you know what? I just got news for you. You're a millennial.
Oh.
Right there. With that answer. With that answer. And when I say why beer and you say why not, I say case closed. And we're back here at Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. And we're going to take a little trip into the, what I like to call the Pop Culture Club. Is Emily Arminetti there?
I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Wait, now listen, I heard the end of your last segment.
Okay.
Can I just tell you two things?
Okay.
I know we need to move on to Pop Culture Club.
Right, but however, comma.
First, no, I have to share a great and really easy Halloween costume. It was my best Halloween costume ever, and actually a decent pop culture reference.
Oh, okay, cool.
When I was in college, I went as Carrie, you know, like Sissy Spacek from the movie Carrie.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to this, like, secondhand store, which that then we all, that's what we wore. We shopped at secondhand store.
Right, exactly.
I bought this pink slip dress for like $3, and I went to some Halloween shop or something, got a hold of a bottle of sage blood,
right,
long hair at the time. I dumped it over my head.
Oh my gosh,
there were people, I went out with my roommates to parties, there were people stopping me on the street like, oh my god, that is the best costume I've ever seen. And there, and everywhere I went, there were the people kept saying like, oh, this bar in Bloomington, where I went to school, is having this costume, best costume contest.
You should go.
I was underage and I couldn't go. They were like, you will definitely win.
That's a great.
And then it was the best costume I have ever, and so easy too.
Now, what you should have done, see, I would have, you know, what I would have done. It's a great. I mean, you nailed it, no doubt. But to add a little drama, I would have somehow found a way to have the bucket over my head. Cool. And then constantly be doused with it.
Was it not that when I would go, like, I'd go to use the bathroom and forget what I looked like, and then I'd see myself in the mirror and scare myself?
Oh, yeah.
I did have a corsage on. I did have a corsage, but I didn't have the bucket.
Did you have did you have your hair straight? Because, I mean, that's the way Sissy Spacek's hair was.
Yes.
And yeah.
It was really long back then.
Oh, I could picture that. That's very cool. That's very cool.
There was a guy who hung out, like, kind of on the periphery of our, like, friend group. He called me Carrie for the rest of the year. I am not making this up. This is true. A true story.
Well, that's not a bad one.
Anyway, but the other thing I wanted to tell you is that I have two kids, and I have to take them trick-or-treating every year, and I have to drink. I have to have. This is just not even negotiable.
Why?
You just have to.
Oh. Come on. You should be sharing this moment with your kids sober. You don't have to drink.
I'm not like getting smashed. Oh. No, I can still share in the moment. You know,
I can't wait. I hope I'm around in like 35 years when everybody goes, what the hell were we doing? Because you guys are all alcoholics.
No, I think we figured out how to do it. I'll be sober the other days of that.
But you're taking your kids on an event that they're supposed to have a memory of when they're older. Going, oh, you remember when my mom and dad took me to trick-or-treat and my dad tripped over the wagon?
No, I
and fell into a pumpkin and broke his neck?
I'll be like, sorry, honey, mommy doesn't remember that. I had too many vodka sodas.
Yeah, no kidding. You should go as Julie Bowen from Modern Family and just drink wine all the time.
You know, we had a couple in our neighborhood, a retired couple who don't have kids trick-or-treating anymore. They were sitting outside their house last year on their front porch with a table with like four or five wine bottles and a stack of those plastic glasses.
Oh,
like
God.
And they were getting, and I was like, you are the best neighbor in the entire neighborhood. I wanted these. I was like, we were new to the neighborhood. I'm like, you are the people I want to hang out with.
See, I'm nostalgic. I'm Norman Rockwell. I think that needs to be pure. I don't think you need to corrupt it with your own. Once again, it's not your holiday.
Old.
No. It's not your holiday. It's not your event. See, once again, you guys got to make it. You got to make it your own. It's your kids'
We're
thing.
Making it tolerable.
Now, well, you know, hey, that's called parenthood, kids. Then don't have them. If you got to get drunk to get through it, come on. It's the
your
kids.
Parents were doing it too. You just know it.
No, my mom and dad didn't come with me. They just said, go out and come back in 3 hours, whether it was dark or not.
Why, they were having martinis.
Yeah, probably. It's like, oh, good, the kid's out. Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, there's no doubt that the Halloween celebration has certainly changed. Do we have the official pop culture music there, Kristen? Well, now the Pop Culture Club is official once the music plays. And, of course, I said many times, it's the Pop Culture Club playing Karma Chameleon because it's by Culture Club, and we're talking about Pop Culture Club. So, wow, talk about some crazy, shocking news in the pop culture world. This is not usually my cup of tea, but It was big enough that I said I have to talk about this. We didn't talk about it last week, and then in the meantime, another bombshell dropped just yesterday as we were recording this a few days ahead of time. So Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie break up, which kind of shocked everybody, even though you know you kind of always heard little rumblings about these two. And let's not forget Angelina Jolie, you know, used to make out with her brother. And did used to have a vial of Billy Bob Thornton's blood around her neck. So I'm sure there's a lot of Team Angelina fans out there, but let's not forget, she's not the straightest arrow in the world either. But I've also heard a lot of stories about Brad Pitt that he's kind of like a stoner. So who knows if he got tired of all these kids around, you know, going, why do we have all these kids? You know, he's probably drinking on Halloween.
Right. What do you think he's doing on Halloween?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, not anymore. I mean, hide your daughters. I'll tell you, 2016 is the most, forget about racial, hotbeds and all this stuff. 2016 is the scariest time of the year, or this is the scariest year in recent memory. Because Brad Pitt, Ben Affleck, and Johnny Depp are all single at the same time. So lock up your daughters.
Single, and also, like, a bit scandalous, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, what is next? Is George Clooney going to start robbing old ladies? Like,
I know, well.
What is going on?
Well, it's so funny because, you know, Obviously, there was Team Jen and Team Brad back in the day when they broke up, and you know, he met Angelina Jolie on the set of Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, and then they got together, and I mean, my gosh, you know, Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston, it was like the prom queen and king getting together. And so when that broke up, everybody took sides, and poor Jen. But then Angelina Jolie had some great PR people and all of a sudden started doing all this humanitarian work, and they forgot that she was a homewrecker.
I think a lot of people gave them a celebrity pass.
Oh, yeah, major pass. Yeah. You know, and I mean, at the end of the day, she did steal. Now, who knows what, Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston's relationship obviously couldn't have been on solid terms, or it wouldn't have been a temptation. So, you can't, cast aspersions on anybody, but everybody was involved, has some blame. But it was interesting the way that became a scandalous thing. And then all of a sudden, Brad and Angelina became the toast of Hollywood and these kind of, humanitarians. And they were able to shift the, then they had all these kids. So they were looked at as kind of the great Hollywood couple. So now, Emily and Kristen as well. But I know Emily is a huge, she was a huge, and maybe still is, a Johnny Depp fan. And we talked about this a few months ago.
He's on probation with me.
Oh, is he?
Based on the recent allegations.
Yeah.
Some serious allegations, but he's on probation with me.
But you did say, regardless that you're married and you have two kids, that, it's Johnny Depp.
Well, I don't know if I said that. You said that.
Well, I said that. But
slightly putting words in.
So now would you? So now there's Brad Pitt out there. So now what if Brad Pitt comes knocking?
Well, it's funny you should ask, because
he's right here.
I was always such a big fan of. Right, I wish.
Oh, so there you go. You just said I wish.
Roasted.
Face. Snap.
Because I was always such a big fan of Johnny Depp, I was never really that into Brad Pitt per se. I mean, for sure, he is universally good looking. I think any one of us would agree he is
a
very, very good looking man. But I don't know, I wasn't really a huge, huge Brad Pitt fan. He wasn't really I wasn't hanging posters of Brad Pitt on my wall.
Right.
Put it that way.
But I see what I love about this whole kind of, Hollywood, and it's amazing, especially now with the internet. I mean, let's face it, the Hollywood starlet couples have always been news. I mean, it's as long as there's been Hollywood, it's always, first it was Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland and all this other stuff. And then, of course, in the 60s and 70s, it was Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. There's always been the couples. And there was then Brad Pitt, no doubt about it. First, Brad Pitt was going out with Gwyneth Paltrow, and they were like the big deal. And then they broke up, and then he married, Jennifer Aniston, and she was on Friends. I mean, my gosh, you couldn't get at that. When those two came together, they were two of the biggest stars in the world in their primes, and then they get together. So, wow, And obviously now we've seen, there's always the gossip on these different things, but that, the internet just seems to have now just totally enhanced that, where this is big news. I mean, this isn't just gossip and entertainment news. This is front page newspaper Tribune news.
Oh, this was this took over half of the CNN homepage the day that the news broke.
Yeah.
Day, I'm like, we're shooting unarmed citizens again. But of course, this is the lead story on CNN.
Yeah, and now that it's kind of, we're hearing some stories that he have made, Brad Pitt, the sad part is you never know what's going on, because once these divorces happen, there's a lot of allegations that a lot of times are used as, as simply negotiation tools to get a settlement, and who knows. But there were some allegations of potential child abuse, who knows. That hasn't been confirmed. But what I have to laugh at is that, like I said, you think about, you know, the Ben Affleck, Jennifer Garner marriage was another one that everybody looked up to because two good-looking people and, you know, very popular in their own rights, and they come together. And then I'm just hearing now that Naomi Watts and Liev Schreiber have broken up. And I'm looking right now at Kristen, and when I said those names, she had this kind of sad look and this kind of resigned nod, like, yeah. And I'm like, you know, it's so funny how we get invested in these people. We don't know that they could both be jerks. I mean, I'm looking at Ray Donovan, and I'm going, that guy, you know, I know he's a good actor, but there's got to be some Ray Donovan in Liev Schreiber.
Like, if you were to approach him, like, if you saw him somewhere and you were to, like, tap him on the shoulder, maybe, like, turn around and punch you in the face?
Yeah, he could shoot me or just break my knees. You know, I mean, just do some kind of some weird thing, or have his buddy Javi come and beat me up. but what I really found strange about that is, about 2 weeks ago, I believe it was in the New Yorker, there was this ad. He is doing a play on Broadway that opens soon, so he's obviously been in, you know, in rehearsals. Now, I have no idea. This is just me talking here, but he's doing a revival of the play Dangerous Liaisons, which takes place, you know, in France, you know, during the whole, you know, the 17 or 1800s. I'm not exactly sure. I haven't seen that movie, but it's a very sexually charged play, and the picture to the ad in the magazine to promote it showed Liev Schreiber, like, on his knees, you know, and this ravaging this woman. And I was like, wow, that is a pretty provocative pose for this play, because they are obviously playing up the sexual aspect of this. So who knows? You know, once again,
a story to begin with, for sure.
What's that?
The Dangerous Liaison story is just,
yeah. Pretty. So I'm just wondering if
it,
yeah, John, yeah, was the, with, I think Glenn Close was in the original with John Malkovich.
That film made John Malkovich a sex symbol. John Malkovich.
For about 10 minutes, and then people realized what he looked like, but... but so I'm just, I mean, who knows? I mean, I have no idea, but I just saw that, and once again, you hear about all these, you know, on-set romances, and I just saw the picture 2 weeks ago, and I said, wow.
Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard.
Now, they're saying that might have been...
That Angie hired a private investigator and busted him.
But she's pregnant.
Yeah.
So.
No, but I'm just saying. So now, I mean, if that's true, now you have to wonder who's...
Well, that is true. That is true. But see, I actually do feel bad for the people who are getting drawn into this, because, you know, there was speculation that there was something going on with them with the new film that's coming out. And then so she basically forced her hand to come out and announce that she's pregnant.
Right.
Expecting a baby with her partner.
Exactly, yeah. She said,
she didn't come right out and say this is not Brad Pitt's child, but she specifically said, my partner, so-and-so, whatever his name is, and I are expecting our second child. And I think she did, she put this on Twitter. So, I mean, she's definitely, that's definitely, she is definitely pregnant.
Oh, I know she is. But, I mean, you know, it's just a matter of.
And it's not Brad Pitt. I mean, according to her.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, so.
Because, you know, here's another. They're going through this really joyous moment in their life.
And now it's kind of clouded,
She gets roped into this whole, you know, Brangelina storyline.
Well, it seems like in the Hollywood marriage, you know, kind of sweepstakes, if you will, it's like within 3 to 5 years. They either get divorced because, you know, it's kind of like, oh, the thrill is gone, and now I see you every day. But if they make it past the 5, then they seem to go pretty well into, like, the 10 or 12. But then they get to the 10 or 12, and it's like, I like you, but I want a younger version.
trade in the model for a younger.
Well, yeah, that's what it seems like. Or then you just you go the whole route and you're like Tom Hanks, who's been married for 20 some years.
If anything happened to those two, I mean that and the Obamas just
but love is dead. But see how I love the way people get attached to these couples who you have no idea what goes on. And there have been stories, even recent stories that I've read, that there were some problems with Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson.
Watch your mouth.
But my point is, it is funny. Like, you go to Hollywood and they say, I've been married for 5 years. Oh, wow. Congratulations. I mean, they're throwing parties, you know, because you just see the fact. I mean, and how many of them that, as I said, that, you know, how long did Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher last? About 3 to 5 years.
Probably longer than people thought they would.
Right, but it was still in that 3 to 5. It was in that 3 to 5 kind of
zone.
And then what did he do? Yeah. He went to Mila Kunis, who's a younger version of Demi Moore.
No, she is a younger version of Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, that's true.
Not personality wise.
Right, no, but I'm just saying, you know.
She actually play a younger version
that is true.
Of Angelina Jolie in a film very, very early on in both of their careers.
So here's my question. So now, I mean, what is the Hollywood marriage right now? Because now we've got Depp is gone, Affleck is gone, Brad and Angelina. I mean, not that they have Schreiber and Naomi Watts were, you know, the it couple. So right now I would have to think that George Clooney and his wife, how do you say her name?
Amal?
I don't know.
No, Amal.
Amal.
So right now it's got to be George Clooney. Who else? Is there a power couple like that? I mean, Matt Damon is, but his wife isn't very well known.
She's a civilian. Like I like to say.
Yeah, a civilian.
Actually, this isn't like a power couple, but I saw William H. Macy and Felicity Huffman being interviewed before the Emmys, and I thought they were so cute.
Well, I don't know. I don't know who that was, though. I don't know because that was not Felicity Huffman. That was some woman. That was a woman that got a lot of work done. I know it was supposed to be Felicity Huffman, but I don't think it was.
Oh, I thought she looked good, and I thought they were really cute, but they're not really a power.
No, they're not a power couple.
They're like a character actor.
Yeah.
Couple. I don't even know what we would call them.
Yeah. Well, we have to find one because
best supporting power couple.
Yeah, because all the heavy hitters have hit that either 3 to 5 or 10 to 12 year marriage, and they didn't make it. So, anyway, well, thank you, Emily, for at the very least, a great idea for a Halloween costume. Carrie with the blood.
Yeah.
Very nice.
If you want to attract attention on Halloween, I highly recommend it.
Very nice. Well, thanks for checking in, Emily. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
In the Pop Culture Club. And I just want to say thanks to everybody for listening to this episode, number 20 of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGN Plus. And I had a great time. I hope you did too. As I always say, I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. Hope you had some fun. I did too. And once again, every Monday, WGNPlus.com, another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. From the end of the web to your screen.